Joining me in the studio now, very special guest, John Stansfield, long-term Islander, waste management advocate, social advocate, social work lecturer. I can't even describe John, so we're just going to get straight into it. John Stansfield, kia ora, good morning, welcome to Waiheke Radio.
Good morning, Greg, and kia ora to Waiheke.
So we got John in the studio this morning for a number of sort of rubbish-related reasons, and he was the one who said, oh, just tell them John Stansfield will be on the radio talking rubbish. So here he is, talking rubbish. John, of course, a key figure at the Waiheke Resources Trust and indeed Cleanstream Waiheke, the local company that managed our waste stream for a good 10 years?
Yes.
Yep, 10 years up to 2009. Just a little bit of background for listeners. In 2009, Waiheke lost the contract to manage our rubbish and for various political and other reasons, the contract was awarded to Waste Management Limited. We had Waiheke people marching up Queen Street, shouting shame, shame in the debating chamber at council. It seems a long time ago now, John, but that 10-year contract that was awarded to Waste Management comes up next year, right?
It does, yes. 2019... is the end of that contract. I understand informally that council intend to roll that over for a period, but I'm not sure how long. One would hope that not very long. I would have thought that in 10 years they might have been able to prepare for a greener future for Waiheke.
Well, that was part of it. One of the reasons that we were so upset, it wasn't just about local employment or managing or a sense of responsibility for our own waste. We are a community who wants a green life.
Absolutely. And look, we've had some fantastic leaders and volunteers in that. I think of the late Gordon Hodson.
Oh, kia ora.
And George Blanchard, who died recently.
Yeah.
Who formed fabulous partnerships for us with the University of Auckland, constantly looking at how can we do this better? How can we get a better outcome for the community? How can we future-proof ourselves? And gosh, you know, I can feel those guys in the room with me as Auckland wakes up to, and indeed New Zealand wakes up to, the fact that China's closed the door on our rubbish plastics, and they are piling up at an alarming rate.
Where?
At a facility in Thames.
In Thames.
Yeah, you can Google that one, folks.
This isn't Mount Visi, this is a second mount.
Yeah, this is a huge, huge place.
So recyclables from around the country or just Auckland are building up at Thames?
I'm not sure from how many sources, but it is really massive already. I think Auckland has had 5,000 tonne of waste plastic.
So China's stopped taking it and it's just building up on shore here.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, there's a couple of interesting angles about that. One is the waste management company on the island is actually owned by the investment arm of the Beijing City Council, which I find deeply ironic. But also back in 2006, we had a look at how countries like New Zealand were dumping rubbish plastics in parts of the developing world, and in our case it was going to China, and said, you know, this won't last forever. Mm. This is a moment in time that this opportunity is going to stop, and we need to get ready for it. And it was as a result of that, and with the help of both George Blanchard and John Sadler of JTEC Industries, that we developed a building product out of the waste plastic. And
this was developed initially out of Waiheke waste, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we carted it across and made it in a factory in the North Shore with John Sadler. And there's still a compost bin in my front garden made out of that waste. And we've got
This is the ECB, right? The
engineered composite board.
Yeah, engineered composite board, which Cleanstream was poised to do a lot with before Cleanstream lost the contract, right? So you've still been working on this project about turning plastics, certain sorts of plastics, into this hard usable composite board.
Yeah. We've carried on working obviously a lot more slowly without having access to a lot of rubbish and a plant to do it in, but we've done a couple of further studies, one with the University of Auckland Engineering School, looking at how we would break the process into parts, if you like, dumb and cheap parts and one very expensive and clever part, so that we could create a mobile plant for the expensive bit, which could travel from community to community.
Each community didn't have to buy the expensive equipment, just the cheaper stuff, and they'd be ready when the big expensive one rolled into town for a while.
Yep. Articulated truck rolls in every 3 months, spends a week, leaves with a pile of building products, And
goes back with the product.
Well, it leaves it in the community, one would hope. And
right, okay.
Use it where it is.
Yeah, use it where it is. Of course, why triple handle? Do you see that sort of as, you know, being able to be used for community projects like, I don't know, the hoardings around sand pits or fences?
Oh, absolutely.
Parks,
yeah.
Rubbish bins themselves.
Yes.
Right, so it's an incredibly useful product.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. It's durable. It's relatively easy to manufacture. You can drill it. You can saw it with simple hand tools. It's got a whole lot going for it.
Wow. So, Waste Management's contract ends 2019, possibly rolled over for a year or two. We don't know how long, hopefully not very long. Is the Waste Resource Trust and Cleanstream sort of starting to position yourself to be in the tender process then?
Oh, absolutely. Look, we want to bring local ownership and operation of the waste sector back to Waiheke because there's a lot of jobs in it. I mean, we had a saying in the company, we've got to grab hold of the rubbish for the poor before the rich find out how valuable it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is what's happening, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we've got a new government. We've got a minister who has some commitment to doing things more locally and is really looking for some innovation in the sector. And that's refreshing because I've lost track of how many times I've been to Wellington or to the mayor's office with a dirty great piece of engineered composite board, and it just really hasn't gone anywhere. So
still sitting behind the mayor's desk somewhere.
Look, I tell you, by the end of this year, we hope to have a factory in the industrial area of Waiheke. And if anybody out there has got a factory they'd like us to have a play in, we'd be real pleased to hear from them. I've got a young German engineer down at the moment. He's working on a project specifically for the plastics factory. Mm. And we've got a guy, a fantastic fellow from India with a PhD in thermoplastics, who's kind of advising us at the research end about...
He's advising us from India? Or?
No, he did his PhD in plastics at the University of Auckland.
Okay, so he's an Aucklander.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
So we've got a team around it. We're going to have to pour some money into it. We've made an application, and it'll be the last one I make, to the Ministry for the Environment Waste Minimisation Innovation Fund. It might get picked up this time. That'd be nice. That would help. We've finally got Auckland Council to support the project. So they've given us a letter of support to the ministry, and they're pretty interested now that they've got 5,000 tonnes of plastic they don't know what to do with.
Is it a different council now, John, from the one that we... I mean, I know obviously it's a different council because it's the super city, and when we lost the contract, it was the City Development Committee under Aaron Batniger of Auckland City Council. Are we in a... I think a lot of Waiheke people would like to know how you feel about whether... You know, we've got a slightly... is this council more interested in what we want to do?
Certainly the political leadership of the council are. I was at Monday, a week or so ago, the launch of the bottle drive campaign for container deposit legislation, or they're calling it bottle buyback.
I remember that from when I was about 10.
That's right, yes. and we've got, you know, Wastemans as an organisation coming out and saying, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
Councillor Penny Hulse, who was the former deputy mayor, spoke at that, and she singled us out of the crowd and said, look, here's the people from Waiheke. We watched in horror when your plant lost its ability to trade, and you're still here and you're still on board, and it's fantastic. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, I'm glad that they haven't forgotten the whole history, and you know, it's nothing worse than fighting and then you find out that nobody remembers the fight.
That's right.
But anyway, we did lose that one in a sense, but we're back in the game by the sounds
of it. We're back in the game, and we've got some new ideas as well.
Like what? Like what?
Oh, well, look, you know, it costs an awful lot, Greg, to send plastic that's been used once off the island and, you know, often out of the country to be reprocessed. So, you know, in the words of Martin Luther King, I have a dream.
Yeah.
And that is that we've got an incredibly talented artistic community. Myself, personally, I have the aesthetic ability of a half-drowned earthworm, but there are lots of people around me who are clever and colourful and, you know, folk like Nora West and the whole Upcycle Collective.
God bless them.
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't
they're
wonderful?
Great. They're great.
They're wonderful.
So imagine this. Picture bright-coloured plastics, like, say, a Dynamo bottle.
I was a bit hesitant to ask if it was all just going to be brown grey.
No, this is, the factory's got two ends. We're going to have the bulk end that makes the engineered composite board, which will be
brown grey.
Yeah, dirty green. And the other end, we're going to sort the brightly coloured plastics and chip them and either make them into string, which we can put through a 3D printer, or just as chips, which we can use in a moulding machine. And then we're going to get the artisan community in to make beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen, instead of us paying a whole lot of money to send our plastic off on a truck to town and into a container and off to some developing country, we're going to have people pay to come to Waiheke and come and buy our rubbish repurposed as objects of arts at great prices and take it home again.
Excellent. That's just perfect, isn't it? Do you think they'll feel slightly con?
Not a bit.
No, because of the art. It's the art, it's not the plastic.
It's the art and it's the story behind it. Yeah. And people come to Waiheke and they have a fantastic time and they want to take something home that's a piece of Waiheke that they can use every day.
This is a solution, isn't it, to the shift we've had from visitors to tourists, and I remember the philosophical argument on the island in the late 90s was about, do we want tourists or visitors? And there is a distinction, because tourists want to take something away and visitors just want to leave their footprints, to sum up the argument quickly.
That's right.
And it seems to me we've slipped into the tourist industry and we're leaving the visitor industry behind. However, if they do want to take something away, that's just such a great souvenir.
Take our rubbish.
Yeah, but don't market it like that, John.
Take our rubbish.
Take our artwork.
Absolutely. Oh, look, I have incredible faith in the talents and abilities of our artisan community, and I really look forward, probably by the end of the year, to opening that facility and working with them.
If you can find the factory.
Yeah, that's right. If someone's got a factory, that'd be really handy.
So what kind of space do you need? We'll come back to the current waste transfer station. Is it called a transfer station still?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so we'll come back to that in a sec. But you're talking about another site, aren't you?
Well, that's right. Well, funnily enough, Greg, many years ago, Waiheke paid a special targeted rate to set aside a fund of money so that we would have a future-proofed solution for waste. And a bunch of that money was used to buy a property in Tahi Road, the old land developer's building.
Quite right.
That would be a very suitable factory site.
We That's could council with owned, that. Isn't it?
That's council owned, yes.
What's in there now?
The latest iteration of City Parks are in
yes,
there.
Yes, of course. That's yeah. right. It's actually council operated. So, it's in fact, they could just like go somewhere else.
Yeah, that'd work very well because it's very close to the existing.
Yeah, so, without getting you in trouble, John, have you put this to them? You have. Okay, so we're not getting out of our we're not getting ahead of ourselves here. You are actually talking about the land. Developers building. Yeah. Oh, look, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful solution. It's sort of the backs onto the transfer station.
Backs onto the transfer station. And in fact, we spent an eye-watering amount of money, as only councils can, on a design that incorporated the two sites. Yes, that's right. It was up at Gulf News. We had this great big diorama thing that the council officers had built. And there was a guy leading it whose name was Gareth Morgan, and he wasn't a multimillionaire who rode a motorcycle and bought political parties.
Gareth, no relation, Morgan.
That's the one, yeah. But he was fantastic. Mm. And he really got sustainability, and he'd put solar panels all over it, and it was going to be the state-of-the-art sustainable waste management facility that had, unlike most other waste management facilities, which have a kind of do not come here public, it had please come here public, let's get your stuff repaired, reduce, let's work at the apex of the pyramid, let's reduce your need to consume.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the transfer station then. When Cleanstream was managing the waste stream, we had a much more humble facility down there.
It was a shocker, actually.
We argued that it was enough because we wanted the contract, but in reality it was, the current transfer station, Cleanstream could work with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And particularly with the adjacent site in Tahi Road, I think, the way the original design went, there was kind of like a heavy machinery, public do-not-go space and a light, bright and colourful. It even had a cafe in it, come to the dump and have a coffee. public, please come here and let's fix your stuff.
It wasn't there for that long, was it? I'm thinking back to it. How long was it there?
How long was the
cafe area?
Oh, no. This is just in design.
Oh, that was the design.
Just in the design. Sorry.
All right. So if CleanStream, supported by the Waihi Resources Trust, was to tender for the contract and get it, how would your average Waiheke Islander, what difference would they see?
Well, of course, first of all, they'd have an enormous sense of pride at having won it back, and we'd have a huge party. That would be incredibly important.
That would help me heal from 2009, John. That's really right.
You know, we had the best diversion rate of just about anywhere in the country.
I know.
And we had that because we extracted some profit out of the business, and we spent that at the reduce end.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had every week in the Gulf Juice, we had the lucky recycler of the week.
That's right.
Islanders would get pinged for doing the right thing and they'd get a prize.
That's right.
We had the entry every year in the Santa Parade, which always won the People's Choice.
Yep.
The shopping trolley dollies and then the blokes in black singlets with compost and then the infamous faceless bureaucrats in suits, wheelie marching team. Lots of fun.
So, but at that point then, so if CleanStream win, this is a difficult question, if they were to win, do we get rid of the wheelie bins? They were pretty unpopular.
Look, that'll probably be determined somewhat by the contract, but there is going to be a change of technology because council's going to use to dispose of pays. The great thing about bags is it's really cheap and easy to count them.
Yeah,
you don't have to weigh them or anything, and it's easy to reduce your capacity. What happened to us in the change to the wheelie bin system was we went from households having a 60-litre bag to having a 140-litre bin.
And, what a surprise.
We're guess what happened?
More rubbish.
Yeah, the rubbish absolutely skyrocketed.
Did it?
That was, madness.
That's one of the greatest shames of all because we were organised, we separated in the kitchen, we separated, at curbside, local people were employed to pick up the bags and throw them in the truck, and I don't know whether the technology would ever go back to that, but one of the things we did lose in the change in 2009 was that we lost jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
Local people with secure incomes suddenly had none.
And, that's right.
And that, to me, was one of the greatest shames, really, because it devalued our own people.
Yeah, absolutely. You make a choice in any industry whether you're going to be capital intensive or labour intensive. And the pervading thinking at the time was, well, you go capital intensive because you can control the cost. I've always thought you create jobs. That's what I'd most like to have on my headstone. Here lies Johnny, good bloke, created a lot of jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Not Spike Milligan's. I told you I was sick. Johnny, I'll make sure that's carved somewhere around your grave. I promise. Okay, so what are you doing in terms of getting ready for 2019 and hopefully it's not 2020? I mean, where are you at in that process?
Well, we're working increasingly in partnership with Global Action Plan Oceania. That's the charity headed by local Andrew Walters and his wife.
Oh, right, yeah. And Andrew was council, wasn't he?
He was council. He used to supervise us, actually, on behalf of council.
And he lives on the island?
Lives on the island. He's running the Devonport facility.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
And Gapo and ourselves with New Hope have run the last inorganic trial for council, and that's actually been, from their point of view, wildly successful. I think with a little bit of design change and giving us kind of control of the whole process, I could give them a whole new definition of what wildly successful looks like. But it's also been pretty popular because we have given everything away.
Yeah.
So we've repurposed stuff, cleaned it up, fixed it, put it out and said, come and pick up your free lawnmower.
Yeah. And people have left
people
it
have, that. People have loved it. If we had complete control of that facility and that site, we could do a whole lot more of the repurposing. Mm. And also, I think, managing the relationship between the householder, the ratepayer, if you like, and the system. Like Greg rings up and says, my fridge is broken down. He doesn't want to hear, oh, that's great, Greg, we're coming to your street in September.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to know, okay, look, Greg, we can come and see you next Thursday. And by the way, mate, when you're in the process of replacing your fridge, did you know that you can get a low-energy fridge which will save you more than it's cost over a couple of years, and it'll be better for the environment as well, and they work really well. And, you know, I'll email you some brochures on where you can get them.
You just described the difference between offshore and onshore management, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's why we want it back, because it isn't just about saving the environment. That's obviously the key point. It's also about creating community, self-reliance, intra-community dependence rather than external dependence.
Yeah,
and we do live on an island.
That's right.
So we actually can either roll over so we can scratch our tummy and do what they want with us, or we can actually say, actually, we're in control, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if we had a system, which we would have if we controlled it, where you'd decided you were going to get that new leather lounge suite that you'd promised yourself at the end of the PhD,
yep.
And you had a serviceable lounge suite that you didn't need anymore,
yep.
And you rang us up and said, you know, got a lounge suite here, and we already had a waiting list through the budgeting service, through the other charities and churches on the island,
needed some furniture.
And we could come and pick it up and take it to someone who needed it right away. Wouldn't that be better for you?
Yep.
Wouldn't that be better for the recipient family?
Yep.
It would reduce the amount of truck miles on the road of bringing it into a depot and taking it out somewhere else.
Yep.
And we could run the whole thing off our phones.
Yeah, you could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, just before I let you go, what's up going on over the road at the Waste Resources Trust? There's quite a big event coming up. Is that this weekend?
Big planting day tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
At 10? Gosh, I'll have to check that, Greg.
I'll look it up and let people know.
Yes, yep. I think that'll take us up to 10,000 trees for the year.
As in the Waste Resources Trust has planted 10,000?
Yeah.
And where are you planting tomorrow?
It's up the top by where you start the sculpture walk.
Mackinnon
Drive, I think it is. And, you know, a couple of hours. And they're doing a terrific job. Very enthusiastic. A lot of volunteers being involved. I'm bringing a class load of my community development class across to do a planting in a couple of weeks' time. They'll do that. Then they'll come up and they'll get stuck in with Kathy at the Kai Conscious Cafe.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a great story to tell, really.
You really have.
We've just got a young Indian architect who's just finished her master's in landscape architecture, who's going to do a complete redesign of the sustainability centre. Looking forward.
Which was the bowling club. And probably could be a little bit more appropriate for what you're trying to achieve.
Yep.
She's redesigning the inside.
She's going to redesign, starting off with, you know, how the solar panel's going
to
work.
And I wanted to come to that because a while ago you turned 50, right? And
it's kind of you to say 50.
and at your party, which was dedicated to getting solar panels, you know, there was an auction and donations and stuff. So how's that project going?
Oh, it's going really good. Vandita's coming on to do the design work for the pergola structure that's going to go out the front of the building. That will both harness electricity and stop the incredible glare that we get there in the summer. So it'll make the building more usable and it'll run cheaper. You won't need fans and aircon and all that kind of nonsense.
And I remember you saying that the ultimate objective is to get the building off the grid altogether.
Off the grid altogether and more. We want to have electric vehicle fast charging stations out the front run off the sun.
Oh, fabulous. You wouldn't just do quick free shuttles down to the wharf, would you? Get some of those damn cars parked at Martyrs here. Here's my vision for the area around there, Johnny. I think we should have an underground car park at Allison Park and the only people and free shuttles to the wharf, and then the only people allowed to park down at the wharf are commercial vehicles and people living with disabilities.
I'm given to understand there is a very big investment coming quite soon
in that area.
Not in Ellison Park, but down in the whole kind of parking and how it's done in shuttles.
Wow. Okay. Well, I won't press you on that because that sounds like you can't quite talk about that.
Yeah.
But
I just know that we've had good leaders in in local government who've worked very hard on that for a long time, and it's going to come to fruition quite soon.
It simply is the most difficult, tricky issue, isn't it, Matiatia? Remember when I came to the island, first of all, there was complaints about why the issues at the keyhole, well, there wasn't a keyhole in those days, but those issues down right at the wharf hadn't been sorted, and that was 1996. And as far as I can see, bugger all has changed. Matiatia has been through sort of peripatetic nightmares, really, hasn't it? But anyway.
Well, we saw this week, of course, that the Auckland Council gave sovereignty over that area to the local board, and I think that's the first step in some reform.
That's what we've needed for a long time, isn't it?
A little further, if we could go a little further east, perhaps as far as Hawke's Bay.
Right, it's about time to get Johnny off the air, I think. John Stansfield, thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio. And I look forward so much to seeing what you guys can do around reclaiming the contract to manage our own waste, because if there is anything in the environmental sector, if I can call it that we have to get control of, it's rubbish. John Stansfield, kia ora.
Thanks very much, Greg. Be green.